This is the second part of a series called First. The title of the message is First Love. So it's second first. The second part of First. We were talking about priorities and order. Hopefully you're here last week. If not, you can watch it on the website because it's the first in this series. It kind of sets the tone for the whole thing. But it is a multiple part series. At the beginning of the year, we're talking about priorities and getting things in order. Order is important. When God says he wants to be first in our life, how many actually believe that that's true, that he wants to be first in our life? I don't need to really convince you of that, right? We looked at some scriptures last week. The first commandment is, you shall have no other gods before me. I want to be first. Order is important. And we're making a case for that and looking at our lives and saying, have I got things in the right order? Not just have I added God to everything else that I do, but have I got him in the right place, in the right order? Preeminence, prominence, first. He wants to be first. And we gave some examples last week, like wearing shoes and socks. Most people wearing shoes and socks. Important to wear, shoes and socks. Socks with your shoes. But it's also important the order that you put them on, right? It's not just enough that I've got my shoes and socks on, but I put my shoes on first and then my socks on. The socks don't do what they're supposed to do. They wear out, your feet stank, all that kind of stuff. Then I gave you some examples from sports, how that could be messed up. And I realized, I always give sports examples, and maybe I left out some people. But how about cooking? Maybe some of you could relate to that in cooking. I'm not a cook, don't want to cook, don't like to cook, like to eat. That's all right. But I've noticed cooking instructions there, do this, do that, and that. Does it make a difference what order you do it in? Or is it just enough? I get all the ingredients. I mean, would it make a difference if I took the ingredients and baked them first and then tried to mix them? Would that work? No, it's not going to work. Got it out of order. So sometimes maybe we got the right ingredients in our life, but we've got it out of order and it ain't working. It don't taste right. Maybe you're frustrated with your Christian life. We want to talk about order. Cooking and stirring is important. The order. Tithing and spending. The order is important because I found out if I spend first and tithe when I'm done, there ain't no tithe left. It all disappears. And that if I do it in the right order, it's not just a tenth, it's the first fruit. And if I put him first, somehow that 90% goes a lot further than it does when it's not blessed. How about this one? Making decisions and praying. Does it make a difference which one you do first? Well, I pray about everything. Well, but first I make the decision, then I pray about it. Wrong answer. Don't work that way. Pray first. Then make the decision. Order is important. What you do first influences the rest. First, biblically, first has the power to bless the rest. The firstborn had a special blessing placed upon it. Even when we talk about the tithe, Malachi said, God says, bring the tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me or prove me now herewith. And see if I'll not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out a what? Blessing. And then I'll rebuke the devourer. He says, put me first and it opens a window of heaven and pours out blessing. Order makes a difference on whether our life is blessed or cursed. Now, God doesn't have to curse us because there's already a curse on the planet. It came with the original sin. When man capitulated authority to a renegade angel named Satan, immediately a curse came upon the earth. You read it in Genesis chapters 1, 2, and 3. There was a curse on the earth that's still here. And in order to be victorious over the curse, we need blessing, and the blessing pushes back the curse. To be blessed means to be made prosperous, happy, fortunate, and impossible to curse. You want blessing in your life. Order is important in releasing blessing, not just having the right ingredients. And here's the thing, God wants to be first in our life, but a whole lot of other things want to be first in our lives. The devil wants to be first in your life, but as Christians, we're a little too savvy for that. We're not going to let that happen. I mean, we wouldn't if the devil just showed up, with the red suit and the long tail and the pitchfork and the horns. You wouldn't invite him in. You wouldn't give him any. But you know how he sneaks in? You ever heard of something called fear? Uh-huh. That's how he tries to get in our life. We like to fear first. Sometimes that happens. If the phone rings, what's the first thing that goes through your head? Woo, I won the Publishers Clearinghouse sweepstakes, $10 million. Or I wonder what happened. I wonder if something bad happened. I wonder if somebody's hurt. That's how the devil gets into our life. He tries to get in there first. Before you can have a faith thought, he tries to get you to have a fear thought. You hear some kind of news, the first thing the devil says is fear, 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 fear. Think fear, fear. You got to fear, you got to fear. Yeah. Most of you probably don't have experience with horses, but when you train a horse, I don't know if you know this, horses are born instinctively to fear. They're a prey animal, and they fear. When they're born, their mamas takes their hoofs and grab them by the face and say, "Child, be afraid." Fear, honey, fear everything. Hey, fear everything. Everything you see, if you've never seen it before, fear it. If it makes a noise, be afraid. If it moves, be afraid. If you're not sure, be afraid. Just be afraid. Be afraid of everything. If you've ever been around horses, the smallest thing, and that's one of the things that you have to work on if you work around horses, is try to get them to use the thinking side of their brain instead of the reactive side of their brain. It's true for us, but horses will automatically, by instinct, if they're not sure, they will just react. Their first response is flight. And if you're working around horses, that can be very dangerous because you weigh whatever you weigh, and they weigh probably 1,000 pounds, a lot more. They weigh a lot more than we do. And if that horse, even as much as you love him and he loves you, if that fly going through the stall scares him and he jumps 6 feet sideways and crushes you against the side, you're dead. You have to teach them to think, not react. And you know what? I was thinking about it. It's the same way with us. The devil tries to get us to react in fear instead of, coming into a position of faith and think about it. That's a big training technique, is getting a horse to think instead of react. And I think there's something God is working in our life through circumstances. And look back how many times he came through for you. See, that's the way I condition my horses. Their first instinct is to react. And what I do, I got them tied up by the barn. Both these horses I got for free, and they were crazy when I got them. The first time I tied Rocky up to the barn, I thought he almost pulled the whole barn down. Wow. Tied him up. I thought, this is a great horse. I'm brushing him. And I reached up like this to hang something on the wall. He came unglued because I went like that. How about that? He almost pulled the whole barn down. So I started working. I take a stick and I have a string on it and I tie a plastic bag, a plastic grocery bag. Now, for a 1,000-pound horse, is that something they need to be afraid of? You know how afraid they are of that plastic bag? I come out of the barn and move that. Oh my gosh, they go crazy. Plastic bag coming after me, gonna kill me. And I've had to condition them, no, look, plastic bag. And they're going crazy, their eyes are big, they're pulling against the rope and they can't. And then after a while they're like, maybe it's not too bad. Well, I've been doing this for a couple years. Every time I come out, and now Rocky just is like, here he comes with that plastic bag. I don't care about the plastic bag. I'm not worried about the plastic bag because he's been doing this for you. And then I take it and I touch him with the plastic bag. Now, I got to admit, Jazz, she was born on the prairie. She's a cracker horse. She still is working on it, but she doesn't go crazy, but she moves around and then it's like, oh, he's not going to kill me. It's okay. It's just a plastic bag. Oh, it feels good. Yeah, not too bad. Not too bad. Good. Well, you think about it, God's kind of been doing the same thing with us. You thought you were going to die. Think about all the times, oh, Lord, I'm not going to make it. You made it. You made it. You didn't die. It's all right because God's bigger than anything, any problem, anything you're facing. He brought you through. Sometimes you got to think like that horse. I'm not going to die. Plastic bag. I'm not going to die. But now I got to figure out how many things I can try to scare them with, because even though they like the plastic bag, there's something else going to. I try everything. I throw everything. I have two pots on the bench where I tie them up, and I take those pots and I bang them together. First time I did that, they went crazy. Pots. He's banging pots. I'm going to die. No, you're not going to die. And then God's trying to tell us, you're not going to die. I've got you in the palm of my hand. It's not going to kill you. You're going to make it. Use the thinking side of your brain. Use the faith side of your brain instead of the fear side of your brain. When fear knocks at the door, send faith to answer it. Yeah, respond in faith. Put the word of God in your heart. Don't let it destroy you. So fear wants to be first in your life. Lust wants to be first in your life. If you let it, if you open the door and let it come in, it's no end to how much of your life it will gobble up. Self wants to be first in your life. It's not that easy. The fact that God wants to be first, there's a lot of things competing for first. Self, I want to be first too. Yeah. And sometimes another person wants to be first in your life. You know, can I give you some advice if you're not married and you're dating? If that person wants to be first, that's not a good match. They need to want to be second behind God, because I find if you find two people that each of them is first, you got problems. You want someone that puts God first. And then it's okay if they put God first, you'll always be number two. But if you're number one, someday somebody else might be number one. Make sure that they've got God number one in their life. Sometimes a hobby wants to be first in your life. A habit can control you if you let it in and let it be first. Truth is, there's a lot of things vying for first place in your life this year. This year, 2015, it won't relent, it won't give up. There's going to be something every day that wants preeminence, prominence, first place in your life. Here's our keynote verse. It's a psalm of Moses. In Psalm 90, verse 12, Moses said this to God: teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Teach us. It's like I've had to teach the horse. The plastic bag's not going to kill you. I have to come to God and say, teach me to number my days and understand that every day there's one left on my calendar. I have a destiny with death. Everybody in this room, there's going to be a day when we transfer and move on. And teach me wisdom is number my days. What am I doing with them? If I'm wise, I'm going to set priorities. I'm going to make sure God is first every day. It's wise to number your days. Wisdom is the ability to apply knowledge. It's not just knowledge. There's a lot of people that are educated beyond their intellect. They got more degrees than a thermometer. They just don't know what to do with the knowledge that they've got. It's knowledge isn't enough. You need wisdom. You need the ability to apply that. We need wisdom comes from God. So what are resolutions? How many made resolutions for 2015? Good for you. Resolutions are not, I just don't know what to do. They are something I already always knew. I'm just making a decision to actually do it. It's to apply the knowledge that we already have, putting what you already know into action. So I got some resolution suggestions for you. If you got your notes, we're going to start filling these in. If you didn't get one, or maybe only got one and there's two of you, if you need one, raise your hand. The ushers are standing speedily by, ready to get one into your hands. We need one up here. Anybody else, just raise your hand. We're going to get you a... And also, we have binders that we give you for free. Barbara, hold up your binder. If you like to collect these, which is great, there's binders in the lobby. You can take those and hang onto your notes, bring it with you, then you can write on it. Resolution suggestions I got for you. Number one, this would be a good resolution. Receive forgiveness daily. Just make a decision, make up your mind. Every day I'm going to start off my day with receiving forgiveness. You say, how do I do that? Well, that implies that I have something to be forgiven of, which is a good thing to do, is to, like what David said, he came before the Lord, search me, try me, and just ask God if there's anything I did yesterday that I need to repent of. And then just get right with God. Confess it, repent, and then it's gone. And don't ever have to bring it up again. You don't bring it up every day, but we're just going to go back on yesterday. Receive forgiveness daily. Two, empty the hate bin daily. Do you have a hate bin? I have a hate bin. Everybody has a hate bin. It's like this trash can right here. It's a trash bin, and there's stuff in. This is my trash bin right here, my hate bin. And I emptied it Saturday, so that's just from yesterday and this morning, stuff that's in my hate bin. Let me see what's in my hate bin. There's all kinds of stuff in there. My parents, I still hate my parents because they didn't name me Luigi. I always wanted to be, okay, I gotta get rid of that. And then here's Rebecca. She gave me some burnt toast. She treats me like a god. Every morning I get a burnt offering. She burnt my toast. She burnt my toast this morning. I'm still mad at her for that. I need to deal with that. Bill Olander's in here. He promised to buy me lunch, and he didn't. I'm mad at Bill. Just kidding. I'm not really. I'm making these up as I go. Okay, you getting that? All right. UB, that's not the University of Birmingham. That's my Uncle Bacigalup. I'm mad at him because I've been praying for him to get a good job. Then he called me the other day and he said, Billy, I got a really good job. And he started telling me, I thought I was so impressed. I thought he got a good job. He says, I got a job with 200 people under me. I said, that's amazing. Then I found out he's raking leaves at the cemetery. I'm so mad at him. 200 people under me. What a rascal, Uncle Bacigalup. And this right here, do you know what that is? That's a motorcycle. I'm not an artist. Okay, that's a motorcycle. That's a Kawasaki Ninja 650 that cut me off in traffic yesterday. I'm so mad at that guy. Look at all these other things. Look at this junk mail that came. I'm mad at them. They use my fax machine to send me junk mail. Did you know that? Every day I gotta look in there and see all the people that I'm angry at, and I gotta get a fresh start. I gotta empty it, clean that basket out, and make a fresh start every day. Make a resolution. Empty the hate bin every day. Number three, make your heart a priority this year. Make your heart a priority. What's on your list of priorities? How about your heart? You know how important your heart is? Out of it flow the issues of life, Proverbs said. Work on a pure heart. Isaiah 51:10 says, create in me a pure heart. That's not easy. There's so many things trying to get into our heart. Pure, you know, it's only about God. We've got other stuff, but it's not in my heart. That's not what my heart's toward. Love the Lord with all your heart. Create in me a pure heart, O God, renew a steadfast spirit within me. How do you get a pure heart? Remove the impurities. If you want pure 100% Florida orange juice, that's all that's in there, right? Got to remove all the other stuff. We also have to create a pure heart, lose the baggage. A lot of us are carrying baggage. Keep losing it. If it comes back, just keep losing it. Keep getting rid of the baggage from the past. Emptying that basket will help a lot. Focus on what is good. That's how to get a pure heart. Focus on what is good. And how about this? This is a fill in the blank. Put God's approval and affirmation first this year. I want to work on this a lot this year. And I get it from Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. We'll read the whole passage. You just got one verse there in your notes. But here it is on the overhead. Beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Here's the thing that's after our heart is trying to do things for people, even trying to do God stuff, church stuff, good stuff, win souls, go on trips or whatever to impress people. No, do it for God. Is God happy? Thank God, you know, we're part of a team that's making a difference. That's very important. Your gifts can never be utilized without others. We're made in such a way we're incomplete. We need other people. I know that, but we're not doing it for their approval. Whatever we do it for God. Make God's approval and affirmation first. And he's telling him, he says, don't beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who's in heaven. When, therefore, you give alms, that's when you give to the poor, to the needy. Do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in synagogues and streets, that they may be honored by men. Again, the people are in the wrong place. Truly, I say to you that they got their reward in full. But when you give alms, don't let your left hand know what your right's doing, that your alms may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you. That's all that really matters, is what God thinks and the payment that the judgment that he makes and the rewards that he gives out. The rewards of men, boom, they're gone. People that love you today might hate you tomorrow. God's consistent. He always loves you. He's got your best. And when you pray, don't be like hypocrites that love to stand and pray in synagogues and on street corners. How? In order to be seen by men. He didn't say don't pray. He said don't do it in order to be seen by men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your inner room, shut the door, pray to your Father who's in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you. It's not about them. It's about God. Put God first ahead of man in your mind, in your thinking and actions. Number four, possible resolution that you should make, a suggestion that I'm making for you, is pray for fulfillment of the Great Commission this year. How important is that? Huh? How about that? How about fitting that into our thinking, into our agenda, into our resolutions for this year to see the Great Commission fulfilled? It is the Great Commission that God commissioned us, the church, to go into all the world, make disciples of all the nations, teaching them all that I taught you, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. That's the Great Commission, Matthew 28:18. The last thing Jesus said. He came to them and he said, all authorities give me on heaven and earth. Therefore, go, make disciples of all. That's our mission. Every Christian, this is the mission of our church, and the church is people. This is our mission. Keep that in your thinking, in your resolutions. Make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey everything I command you. I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. And I've got the, if you're wondering what these are, these are lifesavers, a bunch of lifesavers here. And we did this before, and I want to do it again, is I'm going to encourage you, it's a fill in the blank. Take a lifesaver and put a name on it. Not literally write it. I mean, I guess you could do that. But attach a name to it. I'm going to ask after church, in keeping with this fulfilling the Great Commission, all right, let's pray for that. Let's be part of a team that's trying to do that. But also, let's individually be doing our part. There's people in your life that you will pray for and be used in some way, maybe to share the gospel with them or maybe to bring them to church so that they can receive Christ. And what I want you to do is take this lifesaver, because that's what it's a lifesaver. People are on their way to hell. They need a lifesaver. We need to save their lives spiritually. And you attach somebody's name to it, like Uncle Bachagaloop. I'm still praying for him, and I've got his name. Attach this, and I'm going to put it in my pocket. And every time I reach in my pocket, what's that? What's that life? Oh, man, I got to pray for Uncle Bachagaloop, pray for that relative, pray for that friend, and you keep praying. And then when they come to church, and then when I give the altar call, I give you permission to open one eye and watch, and then when Uncle Bachagaloop raises his hand, praise the Lord, it's the best day of my life, and then you can eat the lifesaver. You're hanging on to it, and it'll be so sweet when you see that's what these are. So take a lifesaver and put a name on it. Number five, possible resolution, make God your first love. God's not opposed to us having other things that we enjoy. He just doesn't want anything above him. Whatever you do, do it for God, not for people. If you park cars in the parking lot, do it for God. If you make coffee in the morning, do it for God. You say, yeah, I'm doing it for people and you want it to taste good. But you know what? Just turn it. I'm doing it unto the Lord. He'll help you make coffee because you know he brews. Hey, I got some more of those proverbs I gave you last week from the first grade. Remember those? Then the first grade teacher, she gave the students a proverb that kids don't know, and it's fill in the blank. Okay, I got six more for you. You remember how they work? Don't bite the hand. Everybody knows that one. Okay, they wrote, don't bite the hand that looks dirty. No news is impossible. I'm not familiar with this one. A miss is as good as a mile. A miss is as good as a mile? Oh, they put a miss is as good as a mister. You can't teach an old dog math. If you lie down with dogs, you'll stink in the morning. Love all, trust me. Kid put it. Love all, trust me. The pen is mightier than pigs. I don't know where that kid came from. The pen's mightier than pigs. If you usher, do it for God. If you pray, do it for God. If you fast, do it for God, not to be seen of men. If you build a gate in the back, do it for God. Did you see the gate David Perryman built? Wow. Well, just ought to stop the service and go out there and look at that gate. Man, you need to go look at that gate before you leave today. It looks like Fort Apache. Somebody tried to break in and they broke the gate a couple weeks ago. And I got some stuff and John and I were going to work on it. But David saw it and he said, "You mind if I fix it?" And I said, "Let me think about that." "No, go ahead. I'll let you fix it." Wow, I'm glad I didn't fix it. It wouldn't have looked like that. He built this massive gate. I was like, man, build me a house like that. It's so cool. It's neat. He did an A1, number one job. He's in kids' church right now. But go look at the gate. But you know what? He did it to God. He didn't want anybody. You know, it's not a big deal. He probably doesn't even want me telling you about it. And in fact, I said, "Well, tell me when you're going to do it, and I'll meet you over there." And he sent me a text, and I was in Gainesville, and I said, I'll get there as soon as I can. And then I was in a meeting, and I came out, and it was cold, and it was rainy. What day was that? I don't know. It was a nasty day, and I thought, well, I'm sure he's not doing it today, because I wouldn't be out there doing it. And then when I came back to the church, there it was. He built that thing. But you do it unto God, his reward. You know, he's doing it unto God. If you help people, do it for God. So if you do it for the praise of men, you'll always get disappointed and you get burned out because you never get the appreciation you thought you should have got. Do it for God. If you're going to win souls, do it for God. If you go on a mission trip, if you're kind to people, if you forgive others, do it for God, not for them. Do it for God. If you come today for Discovery 301 to discover your gifts, why should I discover my spiritual gifts, my personality, my passion, and figure this all out? Because God gave it to me, and I want to do it for God. I want to give it back to God. Listen, you're not a physical being having a temporary spiritual experience. You're a spiritual being having a temporary physical experience. Put things in perspective. And that's why we did a 14-day fast, which we finished yesterday. It's not to lose weight. That's a diet. It's to put things in right perspective. It's to put spiritual things first because the body wants to be first in our life, right? Yeah. Now look, these are in your notes. Three things that you need to know. You are a spirit. You have a soul. You live in a body. Your spirit needs to be fed. Your mind needs to be renewed, and your body needs to be controlled. Very important. And what do you feed your spirit? The Word of God. You feed it faith. And what do you do with your mind? You renew it by the washing of the water of the Word of God. You renew your mind. You get right thinking. And your body will always need to be controlled because it wants to run your life. Now, here's the way it works. The body has no regard for the spirit. Has no regard. Your body, if you decide you want to go sit down and read the Bible, your body will, no, I don't want to do that. If you want to fast, of course the body doesn't want to do that. The body has no regard for the spirit. The soul has no regard for the body. That's why people will kill themselves. The soul wants to take over. I have no regard for you. I'm going to kill you. The soul has no regard for the body, but the spirit has regard for all three. Feed your spirit. Put your spirit in control. How about, okay, we just finished 14 days of fasting. Is that going to be it for the rest of the year? I want to offer something to you to think about. How about the rest of this year, fast one day a week? Somehow, maybe skip a meal or two meals or, you know, just drink juice during the day. Something to prove to your body that it's not in control. It gives your spirit man control and you get closer to God. That's what happens during a fast. It elevates the spirit part of your being. As spirit beings having a temporary physical experience, I want to encourage you to hold the world loosely and hold God tightly because we have a tendency to do the other. To hold the world tightly, things, possessions, money, and have a loose grip on God. I want to encourage you to switch that around. Have a tight grip on God, a loose grip on the things of the world. Love stuff less. 2015, try to love stuff less than God. Matthew 10, Jesus put it this way in 37. He said, he who loves father or mother at all. Is that what he said? If you love your father or mother at all, you're bad. No, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who has found, he loves himself. He's found his life shall lose it. He who's lost it for myself shall find it. Love God first. Not only we have other loves in our life, but he wants to be first. Christianity is the God first life. Yeah. I think that's what I like about Tim Tebow. Everybody knows who Tim Tebow is? Because he always put God first. I mean, there's plenty of Christian players and stuff like that, but I love that about him. He first thing out of his mouth, I want to thank the Lord. He put God first because that's the way Christianity is. It's not a God also life. It's the God first life. A heart of wisdom puts God first. Number six, be a worshiper this year. How about that for a resolution? Be a worshiper. John chapter 4 says, the Father seeks worshipers. Wow. You want the Father to seek after you? Say, oh, he's seeking worshipers. I guess I better be a worshiper. Yeah. Yeah. Worship is more than just, you know, praising God. That's a big part of it. But it's an heart attitude. It's a lifestyle. It's just always worship, always an attitude of looking up to God, giving God. But he's seeking worshipers. And here's an interesting passage in 2 Samuel. It's about King David. You remember him? In chapter 6. And he was so excited about God one day. God came through for him. And what he did was he had the not a priestly robe, but the kingly robe that signified garments signified things, and he had a robe that told everybody, I'm the king. And what he did, he decided he was going to worship the Lord, and he was dancing in the streets, praising God, and he took that robe off. And he wasn't naked. Some people, underneath had a tunic that covered either to his feet or down to his knees, and, you know, a linen tunic, and he took that off. I don't know if it was to be comfortable so he could express himself or to say to everybody, you know what, when we worship God, we're all the same. I'm not a king when we worship. I'm just like you. But for some reason, he took that off, and he was just with the people worshiping God. They were playing instruments, and they were singing and dancing. And look what happened. His wife, her name is, I guess they pronounce it Michael or Michal. When David returned home to bless his household, Michael, that's his wife, daughter of Saul, came out to meet him and said, how the king of Israel has distinguished himself today, disrobing in the sight of the slave girls of his servants as any vulgar fellow would. She didn't like it. She was upset. She was offended by what she did. She was embarrassed by his display of affection from God and taking off, hey, you're the king, and acting, you know. And here's what David said to Michael. It was before the Lord who chose me. I will celebrate before the Lord. I'll become even more undignified than this. And you know what happened? God blessed David, and he didn't bless Michael. She actually had some problems for making that accusation because she impugned his character because he was a worshiper. Don't let anybody make you feel ashamed of being a worshiper of God. You just go ahead and worship God and don't be afraid of that. Hallelujah. Love God, not other people's opinions. Put God first. Let's make 2015, let's focus on living a God first life. Is it worth it? Is God worth it? Last fill in the blank. Make a resolution to make 2015 a God first year. Make a resolution to make 2015 a God first year. Test it out. It's like God told the people in Malachi. He says, test me with the tithe. Test me. Test. Go ahead. Go ahead and test him. Put God first. Make some decisions in your life. Seek God. Fast. Put him first. Test him. It's okay. Test him out. See if it's better for you to put God first. You know what? I think we can accomplish a lot for God this year as a church, as families, as people. There's a mission. The church is on a mission to win souls and make disciples, to reach a lost and dying world. Our mission is to help you find and fulfill God's purpose for your life. Find and fulfill your redemptive purpose, your eternal purpose, your destiny from heaven. You were born with a purpose. You're on this planet because of divine design. You're not an accident. God created you in your mother's womb. He designed you perfectly to fulfill a purpose on the earth. And I believe that as we as a church continue to help each of us find and fulfill our, if every one of us would just do what God created us to do, it will be amazing. We're all different. We're called to different arenas. We don't all have to do the same thing, dress the same, act the same, you know, but what we need to do is reach our potential. Every year, just keep climbing closer to God, fulfilling our destiny. And when we do that, I think we're going to see amazing things happen on this planet. Oh, you can look around and be depressed and look within and be distressed, or you can look at Him and be at rest. You can look around at the world and see all the terrible things and terrorism, and you can just cower and stay in your room and dig a hole in the ground and stock it with beanie weenies and stay down there forever. Or you can come out into the world like Jesus said, go out into the world around you and change people with the love and power of God. I think that's what we're called to do. I don't think we're called to dig a hole in the ground and just hide down. I think we're called to stay in the workplace, meet people, touch people, love people. I think that's the call on Victory Church. I think that's your call, is for us to do more for the kingdom of God this year than we've ever done before. And I think we can accomplish it this year. Do you think we can accomplish something? Do you think you can grow this year spiritually, emotionally? In many ways, do you think you can get a breakthrough this year? I believe you can get a breakthrough. I believe you could conquer fear this year. Conquer fear in your life. Put it down. There, it's always there, rearing its ugly head. But I believe you can get to a place. I told you the story how I went with a team to UCLA to start a church, and one day God told me to speak to this crowd. I couldn't do it because fear was so big in my life. I couldn't do it. And I resolved in my heart to hate it and to start a process of putting it down. And I got to where the fear wasn't gone, but I was at least a little bit stronger than a fear. And I went out and did what I couldn't do before. It's a great feeling when you conquer your fears. I believe this year you may be able to forgive somebody you've never been able to forgive. You may be able to overcome that addiction. You may be able to get free from the past. I'm sure you'll be able this year to get closer to God. That's my dream and my desire for you. Let's pray. Lord, our heart is full of you, and we want you to be number one in our life, not number two, not anywhere down the list. We want you to be number one. We want you to be first place in our morning, when we get up, in our thinking, in our work, in our money, in our job, in our family, in our plans. We want you to be first place in our life. And help us, Lord God, just even right now as we're sitting here, show us anything in our life that is competing with you for first place. We'll take care of it, Lord God. We'll get it straight. We'll get it right. Thank you, Lord. We don't want anything above you. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. If you're here today, I got a question for you. If you died right now, would you go to heaven? If you died right now, would you go to heaven? You might be here today. You say, I don't know. I think so. I hope so. I'm not sure. Does anybody know? Hey, that's a pretty important consequence to not be sure about. And yes, you can know, because Jesus said that he wanted us to have eternal life. You need to know that you have eternal life. How do you get it? It's very simple. You can do it right where you're seated. You ask God to forgive you of your sins. He'll do that, and he'll come live on the inside of you. He'll make you into a new person. If you've never done that, that's why you're here today. You need to get right with God. You don't even have to come up front. You just make a decision in your heart. If you've never done that, that's why you're here today. You might be here today, and you need to get back on track with God. You're not where you want to be. Listen, every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm not going to ask you to stand up or come up front. But if that's you, just slip up your hand real quick. You want to be sure if you died tonight, you go to heaven.
or you want to get back on track with God, anybody else, thank you. Anybody else, thank you. Anybody else, thank you. Right where you're seated, I want to lead you in a prayer. Everybody help them. Dear Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. You died on a cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. Can't save myself. Dear Jesus, please forgive all my sins. Come live on the inside of me. Make me into a new person. Wherever you lead me, I'll follow. From this day, forevermore. Right now, I'm born again. I'm saved. I'm a Christian. I'm going to heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus is my Lord. Give the Lord praise. People prayed that prayer.